On the next Transformed,
I will do everything I can to meet my deadlines other than violate my religious convictions.
Learn why Jason Miller made a bold stand for his faith. And Mike shares his recovery story from rock bottom. That's on the next Transformed. Welcome to Transformed, a program where we share testimonies of God's amazing love and transforming power. In today's program, Pastor Chris Holland shares details from a nail-biting double elimination game from a girls' high school softball championship game. He explains why you should never count out God's grace. You'll hear from Mike and Jason. They have different testimonies, but they share one thing in common. They were both on the top in their respective fields when transformation took place. Let's start with Mike in his own words.
You know, I had been at the top of my businesses for a long time, and I had become somewhat complacent and started to look for other avenues of happiness and joy, which were, in my case, chemicals, drugs, alcohol, whatever it was that I could basically get away from and out of my own skin. And it started out pretty innocently enough, but it did not last innocent for long.
Well, so here you are, you're starting to self-medicate, I guess you would say. You're saying it kind of worked okay for a while, and then things started to fall apart. Are we talking about business, relationship, health, all of the above?
We are talking about the entire enchilada. I began to unravel. Businesses began to falter. Financial. It all started to go downhill. And it didn't take long once it began to go downhill for then me to need to medicate even more, because I was no longer on top. I was no longer the boss. I was now on the bottom, and I had nobody working for me, not even me. So this was the next level of, medication, basically.
And it sounds like that's kind of a downhill slide. Where did you end up?
I ended up in jail, sitting in county jail. And, I had some time to reflect. It wasn't a great long time, but it was a few months. And, now being a father and having kids that are grown and siblings and a mother who's still alive, everybody can see that you're in jail. And the humiliation at the beginning was the thing that got me to start thinking about my life. But soon thereafter, I opened up the Bible in county jail, and I have not set it down since.
And something happened that connected you to Hope Channel. Tell me, what was going on that made you find Hope Channel?
Well, even though I had a few months of sobriety underneath my belt, I was still at the beginning stages of recovery. I was in a, for lack of a better term, like a halfway house, just kind of trying to find my way. It had been so many years that I had not maintained a level of sobriety and how to deal with life and life's issues that I didn't have the toolbox that I once had. And so I was reaching out for anything, and I had a new TV, and it had Roku on it. And this one channel just said Hope. And I clicked on it, and I started to navigate. And then before I knew it, I was watching Hope Sabbath School, which has also caught my eye, and been watching it ever since. And you kind of know the story from there.
Yeah, actually, this is a secret that most people don't know, but you're actually part of our team now, and you join our team meeting every Monday evening. Even though you're not part of the panel, you're part of the prayer team, the support team. How is connecting on a very personal level with the Hope Sabbath School team impacted your life?
I'll tell you, it has changed things in my life immensely. Monday is the day that I look forward to meeting all of my friends from Hope Sabbath School and learning this new toolbox that I have, which is prayer and communication with God through Christ. And I learn and observe and saturate myself in what I see. And the evidence that I see is the folks that I'm dealing with on Hope Sabbath School and the panel that I'm involved with. They are all living lives that are fulfilled, and they're all very gracious and loving. And we pray for each other, and we pray for larger pictures of people. And I'm just learning a brand new brand of life, and I'm just absolutely grateful for it.
I still remember, Mike, you coming to the group and saying something really special is going to happen this week. I want to ask you to pray for me. So this transformation is a journey. But what was that special event that was going to happen that you asked your Hope Sabbath School team to pray for?
I needed prayer for. I was very nervous. And she's an adult, married, with children. And I had never met my grandchildren. I had never met my son-in-law. And it was not something that I was looking forward to, but I was very, very afraid of the circumstance. And so I received a lot of prayer for that, and it just went over without a hitch. And now I'm meeting up with them every couple weeks. Doors are opening up. I'm getting lots of hugs and kisses and love yous. And, you know, things that are normal and what we would consider normal had not been normal for me. And so God has just, you know, with my family, my children, my grandchildren, which is the closest thing to my heart, opened up that door and that avenue. But that's just the beginning. Doors are opening all over the place, Derek.
Mike, in addition to Hope Sabbath School, you've been watching other programs on Hope Channel. What are some programs that God's used to encourage you on your journey?
Five Reasons. There is a program called Five Reasons, which gets into five reasons that there is a God. And he gets into the Bible on the reasons that there is a God. And I've checked the show out numerous times, and it's involving, and it just answers questions every time I watch it. Another show is Bible Help Desk.
Where people can ask Bible questions, right?
Yes, yes. And I do believe it's interactive. And, you know, it's one where, you know, if you're new to the Word, which I am, you have every opportunity to ask questions and watch the program and basically get a plethora of information about the Word of God.
Mike, what would you say to a person? You've been all the way to the bottom, and now the Lord's lifting you up. What would you say to someone watching Transformed, or maybe they have a loved one who's hit rock bottom? What would you say to a person in desperate need of hope?
I would say first that there is hope, and there is hope in God, because there is a God, and we learn who that is through the name of Jesus Christ. And you know, being a person who had some financial success and thought that that was the center of life, and then had that basically taken away, and I resorted all the way down the line to homeless shelters and drug addiction, and I mean, just at the very bottom, God spoke to me that there is a life worth living, and he will lead me in that direction. And I have not turned back. And it has not necessarily been easy the entire way, but there is always hope. That's what I can express, is that there's always hope.
Mike continues his journey of recovery and restoration, like all of us. Moment by moment, we make decisions that have consequences for the present and for the future. It's only by God's grace that we are not consumed. Do you have a story of transformation to share? Someone else might be encouraged by your testimony. Share your story at hopetv.org/transformed. That's hopetv.org/transformed. Hope Channel is viewed in more than 200 countries around the world. It's a miracle and a blessing. We receive letters and emails every day from viewers who are learning about God's love. Here's a note from Angela in Canada. Angela writes, "Hello, Hope Channel. I've been watching your programs as long as they've been on. I've used outlines in teaching Bible studies. Hope Sabbath School is my favorite program. Continue to teach the Word of God. I know souls will be saved in God's kingdom." Well, thanks for writing to us, Angela. Here's a note all the way from Nigeria from Rooney. Rooney says, "Hope Channel is making a tremendous transformation in my life. It makes life interesting and worthwhile." You say, praise God, this life is being changed. "All my life, I've been trying to find happiness," Rooney writes, "and Hope Channel has given me a new perspective on life. I want Jesus to lead the way, and He's been doing that. Thank you so much for making impact on my life. Love, Rooney." Well, Rooney, thanks so much for writing to us. I'm also excited about our new Bible study platform, digital Bible study platform called hope.study. Tens of thousands of people are signing up. Here's just one person reacting. Juna writes and says, "Thank you. This can help me with my Bible study. Very informative. Good for people of all ages. I'm so happy to be here. Good job." These letters come from a result of positive Bible programming, and it's only possible through the financial generosity of you, our viewers. Here's how you can help. Go to hopetv.org/transformed to make your donation today. We appreciate whatever God impresses you to give. And we're especially grateful for sustaining partners who contribute each month. That's hopetv.org/transformed. And thank you. Here's Pastor Chris Holland now with an amazing sports story with a spiritual lesson.
The stage was set. It was the Montana AA Girls High School Softball State Championship game. There in Big Sky Country, Billings West was taking on Missoula Big Sky. It was a double elimination state championship. Missoula Big Sky had defeated Billings West in the first round. However, Billings West won four straight games only to face Missoula Big Sky once again. Big Sky hadn't lost a game yet, so Billings West would have to beat them twice. And in fact, they beat them in the first game. And now they were tied in the championship game. And during the game, it was tied 2-2 in the bottom of the seventh inning, which is the last inning of high school softball. Kendall Bolts of Billings West stepped to the plate with two outs. Kendall Rock, the pitcher of Missoula Big Sky, stared down her target, and she began the windup and the pitch. Four times. Two strikes, two balls. Kendall Bolts, a 10th grader, with all the stress that a 10th grader can handle, waited for the next pitch. The pitch came. She swung, and she missed. A strikeout. But wait, the catcher didn't catch the ball, so Kendall bolted, no pun intended, to first base. The catcher, retrieving the ball, threw the ball to first base, but it sailed over the first baseman's head and landed in the right field fence. Kendall Bolts rounded first and started slowing up at second, but her coach, Ed Krisovich, waved her on, so she headed to third. The throw was up and over the third baseman's head, and now Kendall dashed home, and she was safe. Her team won the state championship on what reporter Ben Rohrbeck called a comedy of errors. Three strikes, but not out. Three strikes and a home run. You see, this comedy of errors was transformed into a win. Three strikes and an out was transformed into a home run. You know, the Bible speaks about the Apostle Peter. He struck out three times. The Bible says that Peter denied Jesus three times, but he was fully restored. Have you struck out with Jesus? He can transform your strikeout to something better. even in despair, when your sin threatens you on all sides, even when you are striking out, don't stop believing. Jesus transforms and restores. He can take that strike out of yours. He can turn it around and he can change you and transform you. He can take that sin. He can change it. He can transform you and have you be ready for his coming. He will fulfill Isaiah 1:18 in your life. The Bible says, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. My dear friend, Jesus is in pursuit of you, that you would have a relationship with him. It's never too late. Jesus can transform your strikeouts to be a home run. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, although we have failed you many, many times, I pray that you would transform our failures into faith, that we might find in you eternal life. Please help us wherever we are and in whatever circumstance we face, that we would experience your transformation. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I've been blinded by emotion. I've been crippled by my fear. 'Cause I've been looking through the eyes of my heart. And I've been questioning the answers. I've been lying to the truth. I gotta find a way to get back where you are. 'Cause there I find mercy, and there I find love, and over there's healing water for my soul. And when I'm there I can't worry, and when I'm there I don't fear. I forget the cares of here when I'm there. Oh. I've been chasing all my failure, and I've been dying to live right. 'Cause what I'm used to isn't useful anymore. And I've been happy in my sin, tossing caution to the wind. But now I'm running to the arms of the Lord. 'Cause there I find mercy, and there I find love. Over there my soul. And when I'm there I can't worry, and when I'm there I don't fear. I forget the cares of here when I'm there. Ooh, I forget the cares of here, because it's easier to live when I'm there. Oh, there I find mercy, and there over there's healing water for my soul. And when I'm there I can't worry, no, when I'm there I don't fear. I forget the cares of here, 'cause there I find mercy. Oh, there I find love. Over there's healing water for my soul. And when I'm there I can't worry, no, when I'm there I don't fear. I forget the cares of here when I'm there. Ooh, I forget the cares of here, 'cause the Father's hand is near, and he wipes away my tears when I'm there.
The Bible author Daniel kept his integrity to God when others plotted against him in secret. Daniel's crime? Praying openly from his home 3 times a day. The punishment? Death by lions. Jason Miller found himself to be a modern-day Daniel in a lion's den. Would it be death or life for him?
While in law school, I had the opportunity to be on the Law Review, a position open only to the smartest and most dedicated students. The editor of the Law Review was very open to Bible truth, so I gave him a little book about what we as Seventh-day Adventist Christians believe. The devil was not happy, and so while I was not paying attention, the due date for my Law Review assignments changed to Sabbath. While I tried to work hard and get everything done before sunset, when the first deadline approached that was Sabbath, I realized I was going to run 2 hours short. Now I had a dilemma, one that felt a little like Daniel when he was told not to pray publicly. Like Daniel, I felt I needed to follow the scripture, and I also felt I needed to be a witness to my friends and classmates on the Law Review who knew what I believed and what I stood for. Whatever beliefs, practices, and convictions we have, I believe living our faith means honoring those convictions. And so, I knew what I must do. I emailed my supervisor and kindly explained my predicament and why I wouldn't be able to meet my Sabbath deadline. Surely God would honor my convictions and the supervisor would understand. However, just as Daniel would have to go to the lion's den, I would have to stand for my convictions. Right around sunset, I received an email, not from the supervisor, but from the editor-in-chief, the very same person I had shared Bible truth with. The email was an ultimatum threatening me with expulsion from the Law Review if a situation like this ever occurred again. Since I knew I still had many more Sabbath deadlines, this was not a happy moment. I prayed, as did Daniel, and wrote my response explaining my religious convictions and why I had to honor God's Sabbath. I wrote, "I must be very clear that if I'm put in a similar situation, I will honor my religious convictions of Sabbath over my Law Review deadlines, and yes, if it comes to that point, I am willing to face the consequences. I will do everything I can to meet my deadlines other than violate my religious convictions." That may have been a bit of a bold move, but God still blessed. From that time forward, by His grace, I solved the problem by turning in all my assignments a week early. My friends and classmates watched as I stayed true to my convictions and witnessed for God. God was faithful in getting me through that little lion's den experience and growing my faith. As we know with the story of Daniel, God may allow you to be nibbled on by the lions, but many more times He wants to save you because He has a purpose. I learned from that experience to trust Him wherever the road leads.
Life will not always be a smooth road once you accept Jesus and stand up for your faith in Him. You can expect to face difficulties and even be nibbled on by the lions, just like Jason was. But Jesus will raise you up when you hit rock bottom, just like Mike. Each day, moment by moment, requires a commitment to Jesus and to serve Him. As you overcome through God's power, please tell us your story. Write to us at hopetv.org/transformed. And remember, 2 Corinthians 5:17, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Until next time, may God's mercy and His grace transform your life.